Parsha Shoftim. We find in this parsha a pasuk which is repeated, almost repeated identically, and yet there is one very small, subtle, but significant difference between the two pasukim. The pasukim that we're referring to, in Perek Yud Zayin, pasuk Yud Aleph, it says as follows. Al pi hatoira asher yeirucha va'al ha-mishpat asher yeimurucha ta'aseh. This is a reference, the famous reference to the mitzvah that we have to listen to our chachomim. Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Lo yisosur min hadovo. Do not turn away, do not veer off from the matter asher yagidu lucha, that which they tell you, yomin usmoil. Right or left? So here the Torah tells you that you must listen to the Chachamim. Whether they tell you, sounds like, to turn right or to turn left, whatever they tell you, that's exactly what you do. Now, this expression of obeying instruction right and left is repeated 9 psukim later. But here, in Pasuk Chof, it's not talking about the Chachamim of Klal Yisrael, but rather this is the parasha that deals with the Melech, the king of Klal Yisrael. And if you look right there in Pasuk Chof, it says, Ulevilti sur min ha-mitzvah yomin usmoil. Again, it talks about the concept of not veering off, yomin usmoil, right and left. So it's almost identical to Pasuk Yud Aleph, the difference being that this is in Pasuk Yud Aleph a reference to the leaders, Chachomim of the generation, whereas in Pasuk Chof it's referring to the Melech. Now, there is a sefer which we have quoted a number of times, a very beautiful sefer, Be'er Yosef al HaTorah, and he says there that he was asked the following question. There's a subtle difference which is very easy to miss. Those who have Chumashim in front of them will appreciate this more. If you look in Pasuk Yud Aleph, the very last word of that pasuk, where it says, you must listen to the Chachamim under all circumstances, whether they tell you yamin or smoil. How is the word smoil, left, spelt there? Sin, mem, aleph, lamed. Sin, mem, aleph, lamed. And yet in that very parasha in Pasuk Chof, look then with regard to Melech, it says there, sin, mem, aleph, vav, lamed. There's a vav added. So the Be'er Yosef writes that he was asked by somebody who obviously detected this difference, why in the first pasuk does it say smoil without a vav, and second time round it says smoil with a vav? That was the question. So he answers the following, a very beautiful answer, which we will try and explain a little bit and then perhaps expound on. And he says, because we all know the famous Rashi, on Pasuk Yud Aleph, when it's talking about the Chachamim, and it says you must listen to them yamin usmoil, so Rashi there says, in the name of the Sifri, Afilu oyma lecha, even if they tell you, al yamin shehu smoil, va'al smoil shehu yamin. You must listen, even if they tell you that right is left, or left is right, under all circumstances you must listen. In other words, the easiest way to explain this is, if I were to ask you, are the curtains on this room on the right hand side of the room or the left? And everybody here would say it's on the right, and I would say it's on the left. So who's correct? The answer is, it depends which way you're looking at it. If you're looking from one direction, it's on the left. If you're looking from a different direction, it's on the right. The Torah is teaching us that Chazal HaKadoshim see things differently to us. They have a different perspective. This is the perspective that we call Da'as Torah. The perspective that we call Da'as Torah. In fact, there's a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, the Gemara in Pesachim darshens this, and it compares the Chachamim of the generation to Migdolis. What's a Migdol? A Migdol is a watchtower. Imagine you were the soldier in the army and you wanted to know whether the enemy was about to attack. And you look over the horizon, it doesn't seem to be anything there. And you get a shout from somebody who's sitting at the top of the Migdal, be careful, the enemy's approaching. And you say to him, no, he isn't. What a ridiculous discussion. He has a different perspective to you. He can see things differently. And that's why Chachamim are referred to as Migdolos. We've referred to this in the past, if you remember, when we've discussed why the leaders of the generation are called the Einei HaEidah, they're the eyes of the generation. Why are they called the eyes of the generation? Because they have eyes. They see things differently. Who are the one? Remember in Parshas Korach, we once mentioned this, where Korach challenges the leadership, and what did Dothan V'Aviram say? You can poke out our eyes. Why did they say you can poke out our eyes? What did they mean by that? What they meant to say was, you can poke out our eyes. We don't need eyes, thank you very much. We can see for ourselves. And we say, that no, the Chachamim are our eyes. It's very interesting. Just this Tisha B'Av, on Leil Tisha B'Av, I was looking in the Sefer Yareis Tevash. Yareis Tevash is the Sefer of Rabbi Yehudah and Eibeshitz. And as we know, and perhaps we'll talk about it later on in Elul, his Yahrzeit is coming up in a couple of weeks. Rabbi Yehudah ben Eibeshitz, although he was the leader of Klal Yisrael, but it's difficult to say that he was undisputed leader of Klal Yisrael. If ever there was a more tumultuous period, it was that period of Rabbi Yehudah ben Eibeshitz, where until the end of his life he had misnagdim. Of course, the most famous of which is Rabbi Yaakov Emden, a very, very severe and bitter machlokes, but it wasn't just Rabbi Yaakov Emden, it was the Pnei Yeshua and others, a very big machlokes in Klal Yisrael. Now, of course, we actually discussed this morning in the morning shiur, a machlokes between Chachomim is one thing. It's when everybody else gets involved, that's when the problems begin. And there you can imagine, it was even the layman who offered his snagdus in opposition to Rabbi Yehudah and Eibeshitz. And I read there in the Yareis Tevash, in the introduction, not when it comes to his droshes, just like a brief biography of Rabbi Yehudah and Eibeshitz. And it says there a fascinating, very frightening thing. It says that this raging machlokes went on until the end of Rabbi Yehudah and Eibeshitz's life. And in fact, even when he passed away, it still didn't finish. And it says there, and it's quite incredible to read, that at his levaya, believe it or not, there was somebody there who came and he threw stones at the coffin of Rabbi Yehudah and Eibeshitz. He passed away and he still didn't let up. That's what it writes there. They say there in the biography, phenomenal thing. This fellow who threw stones at the coffin, at the mitzvah of Rabbi Yehudah and Eibeshitz, a frightening thing happened to him. He came home and he was blinded in both eyes. When I read that story, that immediately reminded me of this message. Because if you challenge the opposite, you oppose the leadership of Klal Yisrael, what you're really saying is, I don't recognize that we need eyes. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to say this, you can do without eyes then. The real Einei HaEidah, the perspective that the Chachamim of the generation had, is an altogether different perspective. That is the perspective of Das Teir, and that's why they're called, they're compared to the watchtower. So that's why Rashi says that even if they tell me right is left and left is right, you have to listen to them. Why would you have to listen to them if they tell me right is left? The answer is because they're looking at it different. They're looking at it differently. So the Be'er Yosef says very beautifully, if that's the case, we understand why the word smile is written on this occasion without a vav. In all of the Torah, the correct spelling of the word smile is with a vav. The only place you'll find it without a vav is over here. Says the Be'er Yosef, is very beautiful. Do you know why it's missing a vav? Because it's not really left. You think it's left, but really it's right. And that fits in with that Rashi. And that's why Rashi says, quoting Chazal, the Sifri, that you must listen whether they tell you right is left or left is right, because you might well think it's left, but it's missing the vav. It's not quite the left after all. From your little perspective, from your vantage point, you're convinced it's left, but it's not left. Chazal are looking at things completely different. That's the way the Be'er Yosef explains very beautifully the difference between the Melech, where there the correct spelling of Smoil is with a vav. With regard to the leaders, the Chachamim of the Dor, it says Smoil without a vav, because that's the whole point. You think it's Smoil, but it's actually not Smoil at all. It's not the left. It's completely different to the way you look at it. My wife's grandfather, Rav Jacob ben Zecher Tzadik Livracha, once said the following. Very beautiful observation. I think we've mentioned it in the past. If you were to come into the Beis HaMikdash or into the Mishkan, you would see the Menorah and the Shulchan. Now, if we were to be asked, what does the Menorah represent and what does the Shulchan represent? So we would all say the Menorah represents the Torah. Kineir mitzvah, the Torah oil. And what does the Shulchan represent? We would say the Shulchan represents Gashmias. What did it have on it? Food, Parnasa, Mazainas. So you have the Menorah, which symbolizes Torah and Ruchnias, and you have the Shulchan, which represents Mazainas and Gashmias. So which one would you expect to be on the right hand side? Obviously, the Menorah. And the opposite is true. The Menorah was on the southern side, which was the left, and the Shulchan was on the right. How can that be? How can that be? How can the Shulchan be more significant? That's on the Yamin, that's the right-hand side, and the Menorah is relegated to the smoil. So, my grandfather said, the most wonderful shot. He said, you're looking at it all wrong. It's true. If you entered the Mishkan off the street, then you would see the Menorah on the left. Because how are you looking at it? What perspective are you coming from? You're coming from the vantage point of the street. Yeah, what did the street say? The street say that the Menorah is on the left. But if you come from the Kodesh HaKodoshim, imagine if you've just left the Kodesh HaKodoshim, what would you see in front of you now? You'd see the Menorah on the right hand side, and the Shulchan indeed relegated to left. So when you have the correct vantage point, if you have the perspective of the Kohen Gadol who was Zeicha once a year to enter the Kodesh Kodshim, then you have everything straightened out. Then you have the Menorah on the right, and the Shulchan on the left. But if you entered coming in off the street from the Olam HaGashmi, then indeed you had your perspective wrong, so the Shulchan on the right hand side. So let's perhaps add a little bit. When Chazal tell us that right is right or left is left, or sometimes they tell you that in fact right is left and left is right, there could be there's something else which is being hinted to over here, but it's all really along the same theme. Does anybody remember in Parshas Matis, it says there that the Bnei God and the Bnei Reuven requested of Moshe Rabbeinu that when we actually don't want to come into Eretz Yisrael. We'd rather take our portion me'eva le'yardin. In Chutz La'aretz, why so? So they said the following, because we need to build Gidrois Tzoin. We need to build sheds and storehouses for our sheep, nivne lemikneinu, for our mikneh, for our cattle, and we also need to build cities for our children. So they mentioned first the cattle, the animals, and then the children. And Moshe Rabbeinu subtly switched the order. And what did he say to them? Moshe Rabbeinu said to them, no problem. I will give you orim letapchem, cities for your children, and also barns for your animals. So they mentioned the cattle first. And Moshe Rabbeinu switched the order and mentioned the children first. So the Medrash says the following. The Pasuk tells us in Keheles, Leiv chochom liyiminai. The heart of the wise person is on the right. The heart of the foolish person is on the left. Now obviously this is not a cardiological description, because we know the heart is on the left. So what does that mean, that the heart of the wise person is on the right, and the heart of the foolish person is on the left? Says the Medrash, who is the Chacham being referred to? Moshe Rabbeinu. And who is the foolish person a reference to? The Bnei God u'Bnei Reuven. Why? Because they don't know what should be on the right and what should be on the left. Why on earth are the Bnei God and the Bnei Reuven giving precedence to their cattle and their gashmias over and above their own family? Moshe Rabbeinu, he has his heart in the right place, on the right hand side. He knows what goes on the right. He mentions his family, his children, and only them, the sheep and the cattle. That's what the Medrash says. Says the Medrash, very powerful words. Do you know what the problem of the Bnei God and the Bnei Reuven were? They were making the Ikkah into a Tophel. And they made the Tophel into the Ikkah. What was less important, they made important. And what was more important, they made less important. In other words, they mentioned both, but the order was wrong. And the order clearly demonstrated that they had a distorted perspective of what was the Ikkah and what was the Tophel. And that's what it means that the Lev Chacham is the Yamin. And the leaf filled with smile. Moshe Rabbeinu knew very well what really goes on the right hand side. The right hand side is Orim Letapchem, cities to your children. We will then and only then mention what goes on the left. And what is that? We will build Gidreis Tzoyim. We will build barns and stables for your cattle. In other words, this therefore can be an understanding of the Pasuk. When Chazal must be obeyed, when Chazal must be listened to because they tell you what's right and what's left, it's not just what is the correct thing to do and what is the incorrect thing to do. With their perspective of Da'as Torah, they tell me what's important in life and what's not so important. Sometimes we see leaders make a whole big doggish, make a very big emphasis on something that doesn't seem so important to us. The answer is because they know what's the yamin and what's the smile. And we don't always know what's the yamin and what's the smile. We don't perhaps see why they're making an emphasis of one thing and less of an emphasis of something else. I would have thought just the opposite. Yeah, that's what Bnei God and Bnei Reuben thought until Moshe Rabbeinu straightened them out. Somebody told me he once saw a bumper sticker on a car. A wonderful bumper sticker. And it says there, the main thing is that the main thing is the main thing. It's a very powerful message. Make sure the main thing is that the main thing is the main thing. Because sometimes we make something which is not the main thing into the main thing. In other words, we make a Tophel into an Ikkah. Well, this car sticker is telling us, make sure you have the Ikkah as the Ikkah. And the Tophel relegated to the Tophel. Now, I'm sure I've mentioned in the past, but it definitely is worthy of repeating, a wonderful moshel. I initially heard this moshel in the name of Rav Chaim Kaufman. Zecher Tzadik Levrochi was one of the Rosh Hashivas in the gates of Yeshiva Ketana. He's a great uncle of one of the Magid Yishurim here in the shul, Rav Ron Jacobson. And he said the most fascinating and the most beautiful moshel. I've definitely mentioned it in the past, but I think it's worth doing Chazar. He mentions, he described the scene of the professor going on a boat ride. Professor in his tie and suit, immaculately dressed, cultured, educated. Professor goes with his friend on a boat ride, but his friend was not a professor. His friend was an uneducated, uncultured peasant farmer. Not quite dressed in a suit, and a jacket, and a tie, but there they were, going down the river, sailing merrily down. And all of a sudden, the professor gives a shout and he says, "Wow, have a look at that. What do you say to that?" So he looks and says, "What? Oh, what? The house there?" "House? You call that a house? Looks like a house to me." He says, "Look at the architecture in the house. It's so beautifully designed, and the structure and the wood and the..." He says, "I don't know. It looks like a house," says the farmer. "Hey, it's a door with a window." He says, "Have you got no appreciation for architecture?" "Not really." He says, "Well, if that's the case, 10% of your life gone. Alright? At least 90 left." They carry on down the river, and all of a sudden the professor shouts, "Wow, listen to that!" "Listen, yeah, I can hear some noise in the back." "Noise? It's a beautiful orchestra playing classical music. Don't you hear the blending of the strings and the piano and the..." "No, to me it sounds like a bit of background noise." "Really, old dog is not taking this lightly." He says, don't you have an appreciation for classical music? She says, not really. That's another 10% of your life gone, he says to him. You're down to 80. And so on and so forth. It continues down the river once again. He says, wow, look at that in the horizon. What do you see? Plant. Call that a plant. You realize that's a very, very rare breed of flower that only blossoms. So I don't know, to me it looks like a bit of a twig. And a little twig? You have no appreciation for flowers and for botany? Not really. Another 10%, and this goes on and on, 10%, 10%, 10%. All of a sudden, there's a huge wave in the river, terrible currents, and the whole boat overturns and capsizes. Strong, muscular farmer, not too disturbed, and he swims safely to the riverbank, and he's okay. Meanwhile, the professor in his suit and his jacket is flailing around in the water. Help! Oh, I don't know what to do. Well, help! Help! So the farmer shouts over to him, says, what's the problem? Just swim. Swim to the side and you'll be okay. So the professor shouts back. He says, but I can't swim. I don't know how to swim. So the farmer shouts back, well, if that's the case, that's 100% of your life gone. That was his motto. In other words, if you can look after your own safety and you can protect your life, then you can be busy with architecture and classical music and with botany. But if you don't have the yamin in place, you can't swim, you can't protect the most basic value of life, which is life itself, then what's the point of appreciating architecture and classical music? What's the ikka and what's the toffel? What's the toffel and what's the ikka? The B'nai God and the B'nai Reuven had it all mixed up. They first mentioned the cattle and the sheep, and only then the family. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, that's called the Ksil, the foolish person. The Chochem is the one who mentioned the children and the family first. And that's perhaps what's being hinted to in this pasuk. That's why you must listen to the Chachomim, because they're the ones who teach us what is the Yamin, and what is the Smol. What really goes on the right-hand side, and what goes on the left. What we think is important might well turn out to perhaps not be so important. And what we think is on the smile and is left, there's a vav missing. Why is the vav missing? Because it's not smile after all. It actually takes its place on the right-hand side. With that in mind, it occurred to me that perhaps really this is the most poignant message at this time of the year. And we'll see, we'll just spend a couple of moments seeing that this is really, I think, a recurring theme all the way from the period of the year that we're up to now, Rosh Elul, up to Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. This is what it's all about. Elul, what is the Avodah of Elul? Elul is, we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ani L'doidi, V'doidi Li. Ani, if you want to know what I'm really all about, what is the main thing in my life? L'doidi. I have other things that go on in my life, but when it comes to Elul, I once again consolidate that recognition that the real Ani is L'doidi. That's the main thing in my life. And that's why, what are we saying every single day in Elul? Achas Sho'alti. I only have one request. Oista Avakesh, that's my sole bakosha. During the rest of the year, unfortunately, I don't really have achas sha'alti. I have many, many bakoshas and many shailas, because the Yetzirah confuses me and tricks me and misleads me in thinking that there's many things that are important. And I'm not quite sure what's the yamin and what's the smol, but then when we come back to Elul, I say, no, my perspective is right. Achas sha'alti. That's the only thing that's important in my life. Oiso avakesh. If I can just be shifty b'veis Hashem, koli mechayoi, lachsos b'noyam Hashem, olavakir meyecholot, that's what I need, nothing more, nothing less. Achas sho'alti, that is the ultimate yamin. I know that really the main thing is the main thing. We continue on to Rosh Hashanah. What happens in Rosh Hashanah? We blow the shofar. So we all know the famous Rambam. The Rambam says, why do we blow the shofar? Because the Torah says so. Says the Rambam, but nonetheless we can suggest a remez to the mitzvah of shofar. The famous words that we need to review every single year at this time of the year. says the Rambam, Remez Yeshboi. There is, after all, a hint, a message to what the Shofar is trying to achieve. And what is that? Uru Yesheinim Mishenaschem. Those who are slumbering should wake up. And listen to the words of the Rambam. Do you know who this is a reference to? What does it mean, sleeping? Eilu HaSheichachim Esoemes. This is referring to those who forget the truth. Bahavle Hazman. How do you translate Havle Hazman? With the trivialities, with nothingness, with pettiness. This is precisely the point, the Tofel and the Ikker. During the course of the year, we forget the Shoigim Kol Shnosom, and they spend all their time Behevel Verik with pettiness. That is Tofel. This is mamish the message of the Shofar. The Shofar says, wake up, don't you realize Asher lo yoyil v'lo yatzel, that's not going to get you anywhere. Why are you making not the main thing into the main thing? Why are you making the left into the right? Why are you making the tofel into the ikka? The sound of the Shofar is the wake up call. Uru yishenu mishinasan. We move on to Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, famous Avodah, the Shnei Hasairim, the two goats. One ended up where? In the Kodesh Kodashim. And one, a terrible death thrown over the mountain, the Azazel. Which one went into the Kodesh Kodashim and which one went to the Azazel? How do they decide? A lottery, a girl, but you know what the Mishnah says in Yuma. It says, when Shimon HaTzadik was the great Kohen Gadol, for 40 years straight, when they did the Geirul, it always came out the same result. What was that? The one on the right-hand side went to the Kodesh Kodashim, and the one on the left went to the Azazel. So we're continuing our theme. Have you got your right and your left in place? Your Yamin Usmael? After the Elul of Achashualti, after the Shofar of Rosh Hashanah, we understand that the right-hand side, what is paramount importance in our life? Kodesh Kedoshim. That which will take us to Kedusha, that should be firmly placed on the right-hand side. So the theme continues. And it all comes to a grand finale on Sukkot. Where do we see that anything about right or left? So I'll tell you. The Torah says, it actually appears in Hilchos Rosh Chodesh, and he quotes as follows. He says, the three Yomim Tovim, Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos, they correspond to the three Avos HaKadoshim. Pesach is a reference and corresponds to Avram, Shavuos, Yitzchak. We won't get involved in that now, that's not our subject. Sukkos corresponds to Yaakov Avinu. Why does Sukkos? Why is Yaakov Avinu? Why is that his Yom Tov? You know what the Torah says? He quotes his brother. Because it says, a posuk ulemiknehu, for his cattle, osa Sukkos. It's a posuk in the Torah. Yaakov Avinu built Sukkos for his cattle. So because of that, the Yom Tov of Sukkos is Yaakov's Yom Tov. Does that make any sense to us? Well, that's his Yom Tov. Well, because he built a barn for his sheep, therefore that's Yaakov's Yom Tov. Ulemiknehu asa Sukkos. So his cattle he built Sukkos. What does that mean? Look at that pasuk, and you'll see a staggering thing. You know what it says in that pasuk? It's a pasuk in Parshas Vayishlach. Vayiven loy bayis. Yaakov built for himself a bayis. Ulemiknehu asa Sukkos, and for his cattle he built Sukkos. You know what the Malbim says? What does it mean he built for himself a bayis? Which bayis? Built himself a palace? A mansion? Bono bayis kavua. Why? Sheyeshev shom v'yavoid es Hashem. He built for himself not a stable, not a barn, not something temporary. He built something kavua. Why? Because for his avodas Hashem, you have to have something kavua. Avalemiknehu. But for his cattle, osorak sukkot arai. Something very flimsy and temporary. Why? Now listen to the words and see how it parallels the medrash we quoted before. Ki ho esek b'mikneh. because his involvement in cattle, hoyo etzloi tofel va'ari. What does that remind us of? The medrash we quoted before. The ksil was b'nei Gad and b'nei Reuven, because they made a whole emphasis out of their cattle. Yaakov Avinu didn't make an emphasis out of his cattle. My cattle, I don't need to build a bias. I need to build a bias for Shifti Beveis Hashem. The house of Hashem, where I serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's got to be kavur. That's the most important thing in my life. But for my cattle, I've got to have cattle. It's very important. But it's only I. And the Malbim concludes and he says, that's why you built them a sukkah, shehi diras arai. That is the whole purpose. That's the soid and the theme of the Yom Tov of Sukkot. We beg HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, Kosveinu b'chayim, Zecheinu l'chayim, Melech of Yisrael. We want life, we want life, we want life. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no problem. First mitzvah of the year, let me see that you know how to use life properly. You're asking for extra life, so presumably you know what life is all about. So what's the first mitzvah in the Torah? Please leave your house and sit in a barn, in a diras arai. You're happy to do so? Ah, so you know what the ikkar is in life, and you know what the tuffer is. Because if you're not prepared to leave your house and move over to the sukkah, then why would I want to give you life? You have the left as the right, and the right as the left. That's why we understand what the Torah is saying. This is Yaakov Avinu's Yom Tov. Because Yaakov Avinu demonstrated by building sukkahs for his cattle that what? As opposed to the bayis that he built for his Avodas Hashem. That is the essence of the Yom Tov of sukkahs. It's not just a play on words. He built sukkahs and it's the Yom Tov of sukkahs and it all matches very neatly. No! Yaakov, by building himself a bayis for his Avodas Hashem, but merely a temporary structure for his cattle, he demonstrated what the Yom Tov of Sukkot is really all about. And that's why, what we read on Sukkot, which Megillah? The Megillah of Keheles. What is the theme of Keheles? Hevel, Havolim, Ein, Ve'imamesh, is the word that repeats itself again and again and again and again. Hevel, the Hevel, the Hevel, which is the exact wording of the Rambam. We blow the shofar to wake people up from those who are involved in Havle Hazman. Therefore, really, this is the recurring theme. From Elul to Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur to Sukkot. It's the Achash Sha'alti. I come back to Elul, I know what the main thing in my life is. I only have one request. If the right-hand side soed, I will end up in a Kodesh Kodshim. It's the shofar that wakes me up, not to be involved in the tofel of life, but rather in the ikkar of life. And you get to the grand finale, that is the Zman Simchoseinu. That brings us Simcha, when we have our perspective straightened out. Chazal teach us what is the Yemin in life, and what is the Smoil in life. Let's just finish off with a short story, which I think we've also mentioned in the past. A very important story, where Rabbi Chonon Wasserman, the great Talmud of the Chofetz Chaim, was visited by a childhood friend of his. This childhood friend had gone and made himself a fortune, became a top lawyer and a businessman, I think. Not that religious, certainly not a Talmud Chacham. He comes to visit Rabbi Chonon, the Rosh Hashiva of Baranovich, and he looks around and he says to him, Rabbi Chonon, we were together in Cheder. You were a bright child. What happened to you? I look around in your house, you're living in some shack here, some little hovel. What happened to you? I became a lawyer, and I became a millionaire, and I became very successful, and I became very wealthy. Nebuch, what happened to you? Nebuch, what happened to you? And Rabbi Chonon didn't answer the question. He asked again, and he didn't answer the question. And he asked him, he said, I don't understand, you were bright, and you had intent. Why didn't you become successful? Why didn't you become a lawyer? Why didn't you become a businessman? No answer. The guest leaves, and Rabbi Chonon says, my dear friend, I'm going to accompany you to the train station. He had to leave town. Takes him to the train station, and he's about to board the train, and Rabbi Chonon says to him, I wouldn't go on that train if I were you. He says, why not? He says, I had a look through the window. I see it's an old, dilapidated train, and the seats are just made out of wood, and it's very uncomfortable. I looked at the other platform, I see a beautiful, luxurious train, and all the seats, and the comfortable cushions and upholstery. I would go on that train if you want. The fellow looked at Rav Chaim, said, I don't understand. Why would I want to go on that train? That doesn't take me to the destination I want to get to. Says Rav Chaim, that's the answer to the question you asked me. The train over there might be more luxurious and more comfortable, but it doesn't take me to where I'm trying to get to. Why didn't you become a lawyer? Why didn't you become a businessman? Why didn't you spend your life investing in money and becoming wealthy? That's a very comfortable train, but it doesn't get me to where I want to get to. Leiv chochem v'yeminai. What's the ikkar of life and what's the tofel? If the ikkar of life is making money and become a successful businessman, you'll end up on a train taking you to a different destination to where you really ought to end up. That is what the Torah is teaching us, and that's why we have chacham and have leaders in our generation. They teach us what's the real yamin, and what's the real smoyel. And even if that smoyel is missing a vav, so we think that some mistake is going on, that's why we have leaders. And they tell you, it's not really left. What you think is left, actually it's the right. It's not really the right, it's the left. That really is what the message of this week's pasuk, and as I mentioned, the recurring theme from Elul to Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur and to Sukkot, to always remember that the main thing is that the main thing is the main thing. Oh,